Welcome to Cultivate the Ordinary Podcast, curious conversations for the anxious, frustrated, and bored. I'm Travis.
And I'm Jesse. So often we're held captive by screens, schedules, and media that's mind-numbing and polarizing. This leaves us seeing dimly through a fog. We want to spark more imagination and a better awareness of God's presence in the everyday.
Join us on a fun journey of discovery and curiosity as we look at the ordinary through the lenses of joy, wonder, beauty, and hope.
Hey, hey, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. We are thrilled to have our friend Tamara here today, Tamara Brown. She is a professional artist who got her beginnings doing art cards and greeting cards and paintings. Back in 2008, she has a history of working with big box companies like Walmart and Bed Bath & Beyond and Target, who displayed some of her greeting cards. So then she ended up transitioning to fine art about 7 years ago. I think that shortly after is when we met her.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's been really fun to just see her her evolve and the things that she shares, the different painting series that she focuses on. And so we're just thrilled to have you here today, Tamara.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your family and, you know, kind of just a little more about yourself.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Charleston. I lived there until I was 13. We moved to Spartanburg, but a lot of the art that I make is actually inspired by my childhood. That's why like marshes are probably my most, you know, popular subject matter. But a lot of that is just from my childhood experiences and loving of the, like, love for the coast. I've lived in Spartanburg through my teen years and then moved back when, you know, I was starting out. My husband and I got married as I was finishing college, and we have two daughters now. McKenna is going to be 16 in the fall, and then Kaya will be 14 in the summer. So we are in the throes of the teen years, which is great. But yeah, so I reside in Spartanburg now, and I'm thankful for where we live. We have a great community and just really happy here.
Yeah. It's been a joy to just get to see her and her husband, Taylor, and their family. Their girls are just really special, really sweet, creative, you know, just a faithful family that you can see how connected and intentional they are. We actually met through a homeschool community about maybe 6 years ago when we had first moved to Spartanburg. And Travis's sister, I believe, was in a co-op with Tamara, and just saw that she, with her art, transitioning into fine art and stuff.
Right.
Thought about me and was like, you guys need to meet. And your daughters are the same age. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got together and we got coffee and talked about your creative process and just like how the journey that you had been on.
Right.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Well, there's got to be so many people that have grown up in Charleston and have went on to become artists. I can't imagine. I mean, that place is a backdrop to inspiration. And it's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen. Places. I love it so much. So
yeah, it's beautiful.
That's really cool. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your you know, past as a professional artist, even to now, and then being a business owner. How did all that start?
Yeah. Well, I've always, like, been drawn to art. My mom was a hobby artist. Growing up, it was just me and her. And so, you know, when I was living in Charleston, I would go with her and her friends into art galleries. Like, I was just kind of always, like, toting around with her and her friends. And she was very art-minded, so it naturally made me see the world through colors, textures, patterns. And so that's why I love Charleston so much. You have cobblestone streets, you have Rainbow Row, like you have stucco mixed with brick. I mean, there's just so much, like, it's just like insane to the senses of all of the architecture there. And so, yeah, that was like, that was where I really noticed it. I didn't do a lot of art. Like, I did a little bit of art classes and stuff in school. Always, you know, did well in those classes and really enjoyed it. but I never really thought about doing art as a career. And so I ended up majoring in communications. But I always still had like this drive like for entrepreneurship. I felt that at a young age, and then ended up going, sold building materials for several years, learned a lot about business, people, myself, and realized like this really isn't creative at all. And there's this whole piece of me that's not being utilized. So when I was about 25, my husband encouraged me at the time, like, if you really want to make greeting cards, like this is a time in our life, you should go for it. So I quit my job, started designing cards, had no clue what I was doing. I had to like literally learn how to do, you know, graphic design. Like I was teaching myself how to use, you know, Adobe Illustrator. And then it took probably about 2 years, I would say, before I really tapped into like my voice and my style. And so I ended up, met a couple people in the card industry. They encouraged me to go to the New York Stationery Show. I did that in 2011. When I was there, American Greetings came in my booth, and that was where we made that connection, and they ended up offering me a contract. So I worked with them for 7 years designing cards. And again, I feel like life is so much a stepping stone. So then that was great for that season. It allowed me to just be creative. I didn't have to worry about distribution or, you know, like the end sales, you know, all that stuff. So it was great at that time in my life. I could be home with my girls, but still create it during nap time. And then not deal with all the other business side of it that they handled. But then as the girls got to be in elementary school, opened up a lot more time. And I was like, I really just feel like there's more in me to give as an artist. Like there's more in me to explore beyond this. And so I started painting more like on canvases for people's homes, for rooms, which is obviously very different than a 5x7 card. But I just fell in love with like pushing the paint, just what it offered as a business for me. And I have not looked back.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful transition to say, you know, I've loved this for a season. This was very, you know, this was my stepping stone to be able to do these graphic designs. There's so much creativity in that. But then to expand your medium and to play around and, you know, just be curious with all the different materials. You have such a unique style.
Thank you.
I could describe it, but do you want to describe kind of what you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it took me like that is such a process to figure out your style, and it takes a lot of patience and showing up and making like I made hundreds of trash paintings nobody saw to discover like what is my voice? Like what do what feels like me? Like what feels authentic? So I would say I landed on it's you know, it's definitely like recognizable. It's not abstract. Like, you know what the subject is, but there is definitely a looseness to it. I like bolder, wider brush strokes. Typically, I love like the playfulness, like where, you know, you throw in some like funky strokes here and there or throw in some paint splatters. I love color. So, you know, but I also found myself liking monochromatic as well. Like, you know, I feel like it's just, you kind of evolve. Like it's like, that's what makes, I think, art so interesting is the artist I was when I first started 7 years ago was who I was then. But then over time, as I'm growing as a person and as I continue to experience life and, you know, evolve, my art evolves with me.
So, man, that opens up a interesting question for me as I hear that. So what, so as you talked about these trash paintings and this process, it was like discards and, you know, no, that's just not me. Someone else might see that those pieces and just be astounded. So what was happening in you, or what are you feeling when you go, that's not me? Like what kind of is playing out inside when you're like,
well, I think honestly, you go through a lot of periods of frustration. And I think that is what makes so many people give up in the beginning, because it's just, it can feel disheartening when you feel like it's almost hard to describe, but it's like, you feel what you like, you can feel it inside, but you don't know how to express it yet. And so you try a lot of different things, and then you're like, no, don't like that. That doesn't feel like me. That doesn't feel like me. And you just have to keep going, 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 going. And then you literally, I mean, I've had many days where I would like be crying in the shower because I'm like, I just want to like get this out, and I don't quite know how to do it. But you just have to keep showing up. And I think it's like anything, like with, you know, music or, you know, gifted writers, it's like those styles took those people a long time to develop. That wasn't something that just was, they were born with that style. So for me, I think I just allowed myself to explore and experiment and told myself it's okay to just give myself, you know, time to explore, because that is how you learn and that's how, you know, you cultivate the style. So you kind of have to just go in, give yourself grace, and know that it's not a failure if the painting does not turn out good, because it's just one step closer to figuring out what you do like.
Yeah, I definitely see in your style, the way I experience it is just a beautiful use of like of negative space, of whites, you know, the, like you mentioned, those painterly strokes or sometimes drips and things like that.
Yeah.
It's definitely not overworked. It's just enough. It's light and airy and feminine and perfect for, you know, kind of the style of, you know, I guess we had more farmhouse and then now we're shifting into a different, different style as far as like home design, but just lots of whites that I just think are so clean and modern. So, just beautiful.
Thank you.
What, when you think back to as a child and your creative expression, did you see like echoes of what you might be one day as an artist? Like when did you, when did it all start?
I mean, I think I've always been an artist, you know, I always saw the world through that lens. I think just because you're not actually practicing, you're still creative in the way you see the world, the way you express, you know, just all of that. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it was always there all along. I do feel like our gifts, if they're not utilized, they do kind of, they're still there, but they just go dormant for a season. And so I think like, I think from my experience, it's been encouraging for me to see, and this is what I hope others can see, is like, it's never too late to develop a passion or a talent. And, you know, a lot of times I think we have this idea of like, well, we have to know what we want to do. So when we go to college, we have to major in that. Or if not, then we miss that mark to the chance to have that. And it's not true. Like, I feel like we go through different seasons. There's sometimes we have to put things on a shelf, you know, for a time, and we can pull it back down at a later time at a, you know, when we can explore that thing. Or I think just always looking at the world as opportunity of like, no matter what age, you can always still be developing yourself and like the things that you can explore. Like people could end up loving gardening in their 50s and they never thought about it before. Like that's why I think it's important that we just try things, like be open-minded because you could stumble across something, it bring you so much joy, and it's okay if it's not a business. It's okay if it's like not monetary, you know, like making, it's like just doing it for the sake of, for the goodness of your soul. Like it breathes something in your soul because you're being creative.
Yeah, that's well said. Jess and I are always on this podcast kind of hitting back on sort of the myth or people that are, you know, want to say I'm not creative. And we're always saying, no, as image bearers of the creator, every human is creative.
100%.
It's finding your voice and what your point is, finding that space and redefining what creativity and what art is. You know, it's not just limited to the fine arts and, you know, music and painting and things like that. It's, you know, expanding our definition of, you know, maybe you're a dude in a shop, you know, putting bikes together or something. It's, this is still creative work. So,
Well, I think back to, I mean, when I was 18, somebody put a book called Art and Fear in my hand. And there really, there's something real about art as like a path or a vocation. You know, like you said, everybody's creative and everybody has this opportunity to use their creative, but to take a step into saying, I'm going to do this as a vocation. I'm going to, you know, attempt to try to like go in this direction. It takes a lot of courage. And I think you had to have had some people influence you along the way, some, whether they were artists or just mentors, people who helped shape your character. Like, what do you think about when I ask that?
I feel like we are all inspired by things that we see. And so, you know, other artists definitely influence, for sure. I feel like a lot of times, like there was a book I actually read one time and it was, his name's, Austin, I think it's like Austin Kleon, but he wrote, it's called, how to steal like an artist, which I don't really like that. I wish it was like more like how to borrow like an artist, but it was really cool. Like he talks about how it's important when you're discovering, you know, who you are as a creative, like looking at the things around you and recognizing, like, if I were to see something that like really drew me in, like if I saw a painting where I'm like, oh, I love that. Like it's stopping me in my tracks. Pay attention. What about that painting though? Like what, it's like same thing with interior designers or like people that are like doing like house design. They're like, oh my gosh, I love that space. But then if you ask them, what did you love about that space? They couldn't tell you. So it's like learning how to watch for like, what about that painting or that room or whatever am I so drawn to? And like learning. So for me, I was drawn to like, there's multiple artists out of Charleston that, that I thought were really unique in their styles. They were very individual, but like, I love their use of color. And you know, the more I started looking just at art in general, like I would pick out like certain things would really draw me in and I'd be like, why do I like this? What about this? Oh, I really like how they did this like super like cool, rough, funky stroke. It was unexpected. So like I put that in my back pocket. Then I see another painting, you know, down the road where I'm like, ooh, I love that. What about that? And ooh, I like that little unexpected drizzle. Like, I mean, but so you start, basically the point of the book was, he's like, you know, you start paying attention and then you have like, say there's like 15 other things that you're gathering pieces of. And before you know it, you're developing it to become your own, where it doesn't look like, it's not like somebody else.
Right.
But it's all inspired and influenced by these different things. And, you know, if you watch like The Voice, it's so fascinating because, you know, people be up there singing. They're like, oh, you sound so unique. You sound so different, but you kind of have a little bit of this and you kind of sound a little bit of that. And it's like you've pulled all these different things, but you've made it to where it now has your sound.
It's like a collage.
It's a collage. Yes, for sure. But it becomes unique to you. So then when people start hearing your song or seeing your painting, they're like, oh, that's the Tamara Brown. They can know from recognizing it. It doesn't look, it's inspired. It could be in similar genres, but a mix of a lot of things that influence that artist to get to where they're at.
And I think artists have to be attuned to their emotions and their, like, kind of almost like the sensations in their body that go with the emotions of just like, oh, this is delight. Oh, this is peace. Oh, this is, you know, I look at these shapes and these colors and these textures and this makes me feel fill in the blank. And that, if you want to create that experience for someone else, whether the imagery is what somebody would be like, oh, this is what I want to hang in my house. There's a sense and a feeling in artwork that you're getting to construct and create and it just flows through you, I'm sure, you know.
Well, and I think for me, like, when I know when I'm painting, I do put my head, I channel myself in a headspace. Like, I'm feeling like if I'm, like, for example, like if I'm working on like a coastal painting or like a boat or a marsh or something like waterway, whatever, I will physically imagine myself standing there in that moment. Like, what do I feel like when, like, the air is against my skin and like feeling like a soft breeze or like the sun is like the way it's reflecting on this certain part, like the calmness, like the serenity that I would feel standing there in that moment of like, you almost picture yourself in that moment as you're creating this piece. So it like really is the experience of what you would experience flows through in the way that you would create it.
I love that.
Man, just geeking out here on creativity and thinking through this stuff. There's a book I love called The Christian Imagination, and it's kind of filled with different authors that are different expressions of creatives. And one of them, the poet Lucy Shaw, to your point, Tamara, is talking about this idea that, which I love that you said this, is this the idea that there's a participation that happens in our creation that you're kind of talking about. Like, it's like it's after it's finished, it's still doing things. Like, and so, and Lucy says that the messages of beauty through the senses, when combined with the response of our intelligence, achieve meaning or significance. And these messages lodge in our minds and memories. They print themselves like pictures on our imaginations and then do their transforming work in us. And so I love that. I love that, like, even that thing that you're creating, we're creating, it's not over in its sort of completed form. Like, now it's, how is the the viewer responding and what's it doing in them?
It's like giving back.
Giving
now.
Back. Oh, mm-hmm. well said. So moving on, and really going to be curious about what you talk about as far as like with joy and kind of what this does in you as well. But one other quote I wanted to highlight in the act of creativity is, God made us human beings in his image. We participate in creative intelligence, giftedness, and originality. We each have the faculty of imagination deep within us, waiting like a seed to be watered and fertilized. Imagination gives us pictures by which to see things the way they can be or the way they are underneath. Mm-hmm. So much of what it means to be an artist, a writer, whatever this form that we're working in is to envision and see something that maybe others don't see, mm-hmm. something that's there, something that we're unearthing, something we're sculpting beneath. What does it feel like for you when you're birthing something beautiful into the world that previously didn't exist? And then has that feeling changed, you know, through the years, as much creating as you've done, like that initial spark of joy, like this thing didn't exist, now it exists? I mean, what are your thoughts around that?
So, I mean, I definitely feel like, yeah, joy is definitely a part of the process. I feel like as a business, you know, it can feel like a business at times, mm-hmm. like when you're on deadlines and people are, you know, like needing commissions. Like, I feel like there's a part of me that has learned to, like, it's almost like serving someone. Mm. Like when I'm showing up and doing my own work, like say I'm creating a body of work that's authentically from like me, just me, for myself, that I'm giving out in the world, I'll feel a certain way, you know, a little more, I guess, free, I would say. When you're creating for other people, like as a commission, I look at it more from like serving someone. Like it might not, this specific thing might not be from my personal experience, but it was theirs. Mm-hmm. And so I try to like make it as special and like meaningful and like knowing that that was very real for them. Like this scene, maybe I'd never seen this scene. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there was someone mm-hmm. had asked me to like paint a hotel, you know? And I was like, this hotel doesn't mean anything specifically to me.
Right.
But like that hotel was very significant for them in a moment in their life. Mm-hmm. So you like channel it for them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it's a little bit different as far as like the way I would personally feel joy mm-hmm. rating from like my own soul from experience. But it's mm-hmm. like you're giving it, you're trying to give that to the person that mm-hmm. is asking you to do this thing for them.
Yeah. Yeah, if that makes a lot of sense. Do you still though have, maybe they're more rare now, but moments though where you created something and you almost just stand back and just go, I just can't believe that's here in the world.
Yeah.
How is this in the world?
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's hard because I don't know if I could recreate it again.
Yeah.
That's happened like on two paintings and I really regret selling them because I just like, I still think about them sometimes and I don't think I could do it again. Hmm. Like it just was in such a moment of like, I don't even know. It's like, that's where I feel like the spiritual side comes over, where you're like, sometimes it almost like can feel, I mean, it sounds, I don't mean it to sound like too mythical or anything like that or over spiritualized, but I do feel like there have been times where I can be so in the moment of something that I don't really remember how I did it. Like it just kind of happened and I end up staring at this thing and I'm like, wow, how did I do that?
Well, something that we talk about a lot that, I mean, even just I use with my clients and stuff is just even Maslow's hierarchy of needs and knowing that like at the very, very top of this pyramid is creativity and purpose and imagination. And like, you know, you're in this state of flow when you feel completely safe, all your needs are met, like everything is just good. You could probably relate to when you're in a stressed out time, how hard it is to create.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So just describing that, like I could never recreate this. I was so in this sense of, I mean, I think as believers, just being connected to God and being completely secure in the moment and safe and, you know, and just free.
Yeah. Just showing up and being 100% authentically, like just in that moment.
And who he created you to be.
Yeah. And it, I don't know, it sparks in me like this, what you said I love too is I think when we talk about like as image bearers of God, and there is a very deep mystery I think in creativity and how sometimes that comes out. And you know, I've read about writers, C.S. Lewis is one that will say, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, and specifically the character of, which is very fascinating, Aslan, as the Jesus figure in this sort of metaphor, didn't come about because Lewis was sitting around continually crafting and mechanistically producing scripts, and just he said the lion literally came bounding into the story. So other creatives will talk to about this idea of almost this creative, you have to obey this creative impulse that just came upon you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And as a writer myself, I've felt that too, of mm-hmm. like, I couldn't sit down and like come up with the inspiration. Yeah. It came into me and I just like, yeah. I got to go type.
Yeah. You know? What was interesting, I was reading a book one time and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but she talks about, it's like catching a cat by its tail. Like when inspiration will just totally. Like hit and it's almost like, oh my gosh, like I have to do this. Like it's like coming out of me. Like I can't do anything else until I get this right. thing out or I'm going to lose it. Right, like exactly. it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You so know, true. It's like you just, it's like almost like you can't focus on anything else right. until you at least write down what the idea is totally. Or something, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I get that so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing that I wanted to ask you about that's so unique is mm-hmm. we talk about cultivating the ordinary, and in your work, you use such ordinary materials mm-hmm. like house paint, mm-hmm. and you know you could probably list many mm-hmm. other things, not expensive materials,
mm-hmm. no.
and you can create such beauty. So tell yeah. me more about that.
Yeah, well, you know, again, that's just part of exploring, and I tried a lot of different things. Like I started off in oils. You know, I liked oils, but then I was like, it just had such a long drying time. It was very hard to just do multi-layers because of the drying time. So then, you know, you just kind of keep experimenting, keep exploring. I work in acrylics and then I work in latex house paint. And, you know, we just had some random house paint because, you know, my husband is a builder. Wow. We've done renovations. I had just random, you know, like Sherwin-Williams sample quartz, you know, laying around. And I'm like, I'll just whip that out and try. And then I'm like, ooh, I love that. I like how I just did this effect with this and I can do certain things with that I can't do, you know, with just acrylic out of a tube. So, you know, again, that's just part of the exploring and trying mm-hmm. things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. I work when I do paint, not that mm-hmm. I paint as much as I would like to, but I work with the same materials.
Yeah.
You know, those cheap foam brushes yes. from Lowe's and,
yeah,
you know,
the best.
Just the cheapest materials, yes. but it's what you do with them.
Yeah.
It's not really, you don't have to spend a
right,
lot
no.
to make things beautiful.
Yeah, no, I do feel like there are certain brushes that I will definitely invest. Like Rosemary is a brand of brushes I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. I don't typically buy them from Hobby Lobby unless they're like really fine point ones. But, I do feel like with that, I can tell a difference. Mm-hmm. But as far as like, I don't know, I think some of my favorite things is working with foam brushes, mm-hmm. you know, because I like the width. I like how you can have, you know, a little bit rougher strokes. You can see a little bit more of like the streaks of the strokes. Mm. And yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah. And it's like even that adds a layer of, I don't know, somehow you're using ordinary things and repurposing them or bringing them into the process that just adds even another layer of kind of wonder. And it's really cool to, mm-hmm. yeah. It reminds me, and you know, over spiritualizing here, this, but like just who we are and how God's working in us. And,
yeah.
and that's who we are, right? We're ordinary, beloved creations of His, but yet how much He's doing through us. Yeah, so there's a lot of parallels to think about.
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about your creative process, and then, you know, in light of, you do a lot of series of works, or you have in mm-hmm. the past with, you know, different mm-hmm. themes and stuff like that. I'm really curious about how do you keep the wonder and inspiration alive? And you've already kind of alluded to this some with the business side, but then when you're balancing that pressure to produce, being this is your livelihood, I mean, has that just been a lot of tension to walk through that, or you've kind of gotten more used to just this is,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten more used to it. I think you just have to also, when it is a job and it is a business, you can't just wait for inspiration to strike.
Yeah.
You have to learn to just be able to show up and be able to get in that yeah. headspace, whether you're feeling inspired right. that day or not. And yeah. there's things you can do to like help cultivate that in you. Like, I think for me, you know, if I'm feeling just like, just not feeling it that day, I mean, you can put on things that will help like evoke that mood in you. Like it could be like put on a candle, or, you know, make yourself like get fully dressed, like make yourself feel good. Like you're showing up, you know, like take the time to do your hair. Even if you're in a studio, no one's seeing you, like just little things like that can make you feel more ready and more like better, you know, like feeling like I'm put together. I'm like ready to like get my mind around this thing I'm doing. Like I'm not just like strolling in my pajamas like in here, you know what I mean? Like or going somewhere, like, you know, go for a walk, go meet a friend for coffee. Like those types of things really can affect my feeling more like ready for that headspace.
So Tamara, as a person of faith who, you know, lives her life ever before the face of God, you know, what is it like to make these paintings and to do this serving of others by producing things that are for them, and just everything involved? How does that impact your faith, or how has your faith impacted this work?
Well, I feel like even more so than that, I feel like probably the biggest effect, I think my faith has grown through making art, has been really trusting God with, you know, a business. Like I went through a series of years where, you know, it was like a struggle, you know, like I shared earlier, like figuring out your style, like that takes perseverance, it takes patience, a prayer, you know, of like, Lord, show me like what this looks like. You know, I'm just trying to express this. I feel like you've made me to put this, you know, desire in me to want to create. Like I'm asking you to help me be able to express this in a way that is authentic to the way you made me. And so that process of that, and then, you know, take it a step further, then you have a business, you know, it's trusting the Lord, like, you know, with the business. And I feel like for me, success, the way I look at success has changed. I think, you know, from like a humanistic, like, you know, like worldly perspective, we define success as, you know, like the amount of painting sales and like, you know, the gross of your, you know, profit and your, you know what I mean? Like, you know, all these things that the world would say, this is success. And I think for me, it's been a process of also realizing like, no, I mean, that's wonderful. Like that's obviously like a goal as a business, but like, that's not for me, the definition of success. Like the success is that I'm getting to a point where like, I have a talent God's given me. I've persevered through it. I'm able to create the art that I make now, and trusting God with the rest of it. Like you can put out your best work, but God's the one who brings the buyers. He's the one, like that's where you pass the baton. Like you can do all the things you can and show up and, you know, include him in your process and like, no, this is a gift. Like, Lord, be glorified, like through like what I'm creating. Thank you for this thing that brings me so much joy. Like, let it bless other people. But then when you release it and you like put it out into the world, like that's where I feel like I've learned to step back at that point. Cause I feel like it's so vulnerable as an artist to like make a body of work and you put it out there and it leaves you very vulnerable. And so like, you know, there's times where I've had art like sell out, like before it was even posted, like pre-sold. Then you have other times where it's like, you know, it's a little bit slower and like it takes a little bit, like, you know, a few extra days to, you know, where you've had other times where maybe it sold immediately, like before you even posted it. So I feel like, you know, artists can get a little hung up on that kind of stuff because the world tells us like this is success. And I just think like I've learned over time to just not fret about that. Like art, I mean, I know this sounds cheesy too, but I feel like art ends up with the people it's supposed to end up with. And those people, like, you know, there's things each painting has to, you know, not only resonate the subject with somebody, but it has to be the right color palette. It has to be the right size for their walls. It's a numbers game. It's like anything else, you know, like sales. So you have to be patient. And like, I just feel like the Lord always ends up like bringing those people. Sometimes it's instant and it's like the second, you know, it's like posted on a story on Instagram. And then other times, you know, it could be a little bit later and that's okay. Like it's the gift, like the success is that I'm able to do this and trust in God with the rest. Mm-hmm. That's been a big shift for me over time.
Yeah.
That he's taught me to like surrender.
Yeah. And I've heard that in just the times that we have gotten together, just what it looks like to be open-handed with your craft and with the results, like what happens from here.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have control over so much in life.
Right.
You just be obedient to what God has given you, to use your skills and your gift and to serve others and to trust him past that, you know?
Right.
And I think that that's something, because you are so others focused, you and your husband have led groups and, you know, really encouraged a lot of people along the way, that you can teach business owners, small business owners, and people who maybe aren't even making art, but just to be open-handed, to trust God with all that you have to offer this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this like image come to me. This was like years ago. But as I was kind of like, you know, getting like thinking about that point, like this kind of like image, maybe it's from growing up in Charleston, but it was like if I was standing at the beach and, you know, I just feel like the Lord wants my hands to be open in a sense of like if I were to be standing on the shore and I were to pick up sand through my hands need to be opened enough that sand can sift through and I'm not clenching so tight. And I think that's what we can do in so many things. Like we try, like even with good motives, but we end up trying to control it and we want to shift it and force it and make it look like this and make it look, you know what I mean? And I just feel like there's such a freedom that comes when you can like truly, and it's a process we have to go through every day to get these points, we have to remind ourselves, but like being open-handed, because that's where God really has the room to truly do what it is he's doing. And and that's not just with art, that's with relationships, friendships, like, you know, you're waiting on a job interview and you're praying about, like, there's a beauty of looking, like holding things loosely, you know, like a life lesson. I feel like God's taught me in that and continues to teach me.
Yeah.
That's well said. Yeah, for sure.
I think when I work with just different people on this idea of regulating resources, I think of art and creativity as such a resource that God gives us to help us in our stuck places, in our internal chaos, maybe our fears. What would you say to somebody who just wants to tap into their art and their creativity based on the gifts that God gives you through making art? Like, how would you tell them he gives back to you?
I think you just have to start. And I just think don't be fearful. Like everybody that does anything worthwhile, you know, starts off somewhere. And you can't just wait and start when you feel like, you know, you have it all figured out. Like you have to almost just like fake it till you make it. Just get in there. Just do the craft. Do the work. It will come in time. And I think that's just it. It's just continuing to show up every day.
Yeah. So just to kind of take us out here, there's this really incredible book called The Artisan Soul. And it's written by Erwin Raphael McManus. And he's a pastor and an artist. And he's just a very creative thinker. And, you know, we're all about soul care, you know, in what we're doing here. And we've had other podcasts on that. But I love this quote in his book. So I'm just going to throw it out there and you guys can respond. Yet, what humanity needs most is for us to set creativity free from the singular category of the extraordinary and release it into the hands of the ordinary. Creativity should be an everyday experience. Creativity should be as common as breathing.
I love it.
So I think that that, you know,
I mean, that's really what, the heart of what Tamara said kind of throughout this episode, is just talking about the, yeah, just giving that space and letting it be like this comfortable place that you're just finding. And yeah, it is a normal rhythm, like breathing.
Yeah. So whether it be courage or trust or just kind of getting into a new habit, I think we can all learn from that, that practice. So,
yeah.
Any other closing thoughts on art or inspiration, creativity?
Well, I'm just thankful. Thanks for inviting me to come talk. I mean, it was fun talking with y'all and sharing, you know, I hope this can encourage people. You know, we're all in different places and different journeys and different, you know, passions, but I do feel like they can, you know, so often overlap because the experience is so human. It's so the same. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, this has really been insightful. Gosh, so many like things that I just want to mull over. I mean, there's, and then there's like funny things. Like there's a line you said, unexpected drizzle. And I can't now stop thinking about brownies and like,
so if, funny.
Like
that's
dessert
so funny.
And like, could you have some expected drizzle on that maybe?
That's or, amazing.
But yeah. So how can we find you and your work and yeah, help us on that?
So I have a website that is TamaraBrownArt.com. And I'm also on Instagram. My handle is @TamaraBrownArt. And I am also on Facebook and LinkedIn. And there is a gallery that I work with called Dress the Room Charleston. They're an online gallery. They are, you know, you can find them on Instagram, but I will have a couple, maybe like 2 to 3 times a year, I'll run things through them, and they're great. They have a great offering of art, and yeah.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. Awesome, this has been so fun.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you found something helpful, hopeful, or thought-provoking. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in the podcast. And we also have links in the notes for our own resources to check out. We would really love to hear from you. And we're also really grateful for your support by sharing the podcast episodes with your friends and family and leaving a rating and review. May we all regain and maintain our wonder, hope, and inspiration as we look at our ordinary through new and fresh eyes.